California lottery officials saying it was sold at Ernie's Liquors in San Jose, where the owner says he's excited that his store will be getting a sizable bonus for selling that ticket.
It means a lot right now because we were the lucky store that we sold the ticket.
The jackpot was up to $522 million, the fifth largest Mega Millions jackpot ever. If the winner takes a lump sum payment, they'll walk away with over $300 million. ICE is bragging that the shooter who killed two people and wounded 13 others on a Toronto street on Sunday was one of its soldiers. The man was eventually killed in a shootout with police. You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
Good morning, this is Nicole Smith, and you're listening to Happy to Help, a show about volunteerism and service and helping others. The weather this week, we've got more rain. We've got potential flash flood watch for today and tonight. Thursday, chance of showers again. Thursday night, partly cloudy. Chance of showers and thunderstorms on Friday and Friday night. Saturday, we might get a little bit of sun, and then back to the clouds and the rain. So be careful out there.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith, and you're listening to Happy to Help. We are very happy to have today as our guest, Amy Klein. She is the Executive Director of Volunteer Connect. Welcome, Amy.
Thank you, Nicole. Thank you for having me.
Great. Well, we always start out with a little bit of background about you and your history. And can you start with that and tell us how you came to Volunteer Connect and kind of what your role is there?
So my current role is as executive director, and I've been at Volunteer Connect for about 6 years. It's really been an amazing 6 years considering where we started. So I started, I was working in development prior to this, and Volunteer Connect was going through a transition. They at that time had decided to shrink the shop a little bit and sort of focus on what the volunteer needs were in Greater Mercer County. Mm-hmm. I think at the time there was consideration that maybe they weren't fulfilling the role that they should be filling. There were a lot of organizations out there who needed volunteers, but they had started, let's see, about 11 years before that. And our founder, Nancy Robbins, was amazing and started this all on the internet before the internet was really as we see it today.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was really interesting. So the nonprofits would log on and say what kind of day of service it's called, opportunities they need. Those are things like beach cleanups or someone to stuff envelopes or pass water out at a 5K, the more traditional view of volunteering.
Yeah.
And I think as time went on, things grew and changed. And, 11 years later, they were identifying that things had changed. So they took a step back, and the board was really phenomenal because I think that's hard for a board to recognize, let alone address and deal with. So they did take that step back, and a couple of the board members did a lot of research into what volunteerism really meant, and especially what Central New Jersey and Greater Mercer County nonprofits really needed.
Mm-hmm.
What were they looking for? Mm-hmm. So they were staying really attuned to addressing needs in the community. What they discovered through their research was that the nonprofits didn't want Volunteer Connect to go away. They still needed support.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, they discovered nationally this movement called skills-based volunteering. Mm-hmm. And that's people using their professional skills to support the strategic needs of nonprofits.
Mm-hmm.
So when most people think of pro bono mm-hmm. volunteering, if I ask them that, they immediately think attorneys.
Right. That's the term. Normal, yeah, that's the term.
Yeah, it's a normal representation of what we think of as pro bono.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. In the last almost 20 years now, the pro bono movement has really exploded and expanded mm-hmm. to include all types of professional skills.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you forgive me, I'll step back a little bit.
Sure.
Probably around 2008, when the market basically took a nice, took a dive.
Mm-hmm.
Nonprofits were really struggling. So nonprofits always struggle.
That's right. It's a given, unfortunately.
In our field. But what happened was because of what was happening in the world, there was even more pressure on nonprofits to help at a base level and mm-hmm. to help the people who were suffering. What also happens at that same time, concurrently, is that money dips for the nonprofits.
Mm-hmm.
So they were being asked to do more with less and even less, and they mm-hmm. weren't getting the individual donations that they relied on. They weren't getting the foundation or corporate money that they would get in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So they were really struggling.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the base of skills-based volunteering and where it exploded from.
Well, didn't Taproot start? Are you familiar with Taproot?
Love Taproot.
Yeah.
Speak more highly about Taproot Foundation.
Because he was one of the pioneers of that
Aaron
movement.
Hirst was the founder, and I'll tell you, one of my greatest moments was when Aaron Hirst retweeted one of my tweets.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it sounds ridiculous.
No, I love it.
To when Justin Bieber retweeted one of my daughter's tweets.
No way.
A while ago.
Wow, you're famous.
Oh, my gosh. I remember her excitement about that, and I felt the exact same way. I was running around the house. Aaron Hirst.
Oh, my gosh. So what was the nature of the tweet? Do you remember?
Oh, my goodness. I don't remember that. Positive about impact or whatnot.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing. Yeah. Yes, and for those listeners out there, if you have not read it, The Purpose Economy by Aaron Hirst is a great read and talks about where the world is going and different things like that. So sorry I interrupted you. Okay.
No. So, but that is the base of what happened and where we were as an organization. And so at that time, Volunteer Connect, the board, I knew some of the board members, and they called me and asked me to run a pilot program for them for 6 months. On skills-based volunteering, because this concept had been tried and has worked successfully in large cities, in New York, in Chicago, and California.
Uh-huh.
But, our home is in Princeton, New mm-hmm. Jersey, so we had no idea if this was going to work in Mercer County.
Yeah.
So we said, let's just try it and see. Our nonprofits had said, yes, we need help in these strategic areas involving marketing or communications, technological things, research. So we developed a program where I would connect skilled professionals with the nonprofits who need the strategic level help.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we're 6 months later, 6 years later.
Yeah.
6 years later. So it worked.
It took off.
It was one of those kind of aha moments where the nonprofits were, of course I need this help. I mm-hmm. need help creating my strategic plans and my marketing mm-hmm. plans. And I was able to find the professionals in our area, which is filled with amazing people who mm-hmm. are working and still yet dedicated to nonprofits.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Or they're in transition or they're retired. But the basic commonality between them all is that they want help.
Yeah.
So this provides a different avenue to share your skills. So we tried it, and it was a success. So obviously at that time, the board asked me to stay and to see what we could do with Volunteer Connect, because it was, you know, basically if this worked, great, and if not, you know, they were going to close up shop. They had a good run.
Yeah.
So it was a fantastic organization. But from that base, we have built.
Right, and now you're at your 20-year anniversary, right?
And this year we are celebrating our 20th year anniversary.
Very exciting.
It's been obviously an amazing ride, and in some ways not abnormal of other nonprofits, because I had mentioned we switched our direction a little bit. And there's a concept of the life cycle of nonprofits where you start grassroots, which it did with our founder in her kitchen, and, you know, just getting the people you know. Mm-hmm. And it grows and builds, and it can ebb and flow like anything else. And now we're riding the wave.
Yeah, no, it's a great wave.
Yeah.
Yeah, because nonprofits are stretched so thin as it is, and anybody working at the nonprofit wears many hats, right? So if you can bring in an expert in marketing and website development and strategic planning, you know, that they can bring a lot to the table and take some of that pressure off your nonprofit employees, right?
And that's the trick of it all for mm-hmm. that leg of our tripod, that they know they need the skills.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the person can't do everything.
Right.
They have limited funding, and they either don't have the staff to complete those higher level projects, mm-hmm. or their board can't fulfill every single role.
Right.
So this does it gives them a whole layer of support that, you know, is priceless.
Right, right. And it's a win-win because the person offering the help feels good about what they're doing. They're offering something that they do or know or have expertise in for a different cause that, you know, it allows them to expand their knowledge and give their services for a good thing. So,
yeah. And yeah. I've seen the pro bono volunteers go on and become, sometimes they become employees of that organization.
Nice.
I've seen them become trustees of the organization. It depends what they're looking for. Oftentimes, they just enjoy giving back for these mm-hmm. Time-limited projects that have a beginning, a specific
right,
end,
right.
and a measurable outcome. And they like just having the letters of reference or
yeah.
something on LinkedIn written about them.
Yeah.
Or nothing at all.
Yeah. Yeah. It depends
so
on how, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And that, I mean, that's great too, because, you know, for some accountants, CPAs, they've got a busy season where they do nothing but, you know, crunch the books or crunch the numbers. But then maybe in different times of the year, they can offer some of their services because their time frees up so they can do a project at that time.
Absolutely.
Right. And then project based, like you said, it's nice to have a beginning and an end, whereas someone who wants to be a board member, that's more of a commitment, right? If you want
right.
to be on the board.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and I'm sure everybody's seen those quite funny cartoons that say, "Stop me before I volunteer."
I know. Well, it's addicting.
So
I mean, I love it. It's addictive.
I love it. And most people really do enjoy it, but it can be challenging. And if you're doing day of service projects, sometimes they're not, you know, run perfectly well, or there's some challenges with that. So this does provide a different avenue, and it's not. I always say when I'm speaking about this, this is not to say that day of service volunteering is not important,
right?
Because it is vital to
yes.
every organization that they have volunteers who can come in and help with their events or stuff the envelopes or
yeah.
you know
or clean up the park
beach,
or whatever. Yeah,
do the
yeah.
beach cleanups. That's they all still need that.
Yeah, and that builds community. Yeah,
right.
That builds community and camaraderie and a team building and all that. So
yep.
yeah, it's just it depends. You know, pick your flavor kind of thing, or
exactly.
what you're able to do.
Right. And this just provides a different avenue for people.
Perfect. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Amy.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And we're back. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help. And today we're talking with Amy Klein, who is the Executive Director of Volunteer Connect based in Mercer County. And we were just talking about the Skills Connect arm of the organization, and they do so much more than that. And I wanted to get into a little bit of the Board Connect or the board development that you all do, which is, I think, is really great.
That's an exciting program. This program really was developed probably about 4 years ago was when we started to think about the concept of this, because what was happening is I was talking to a lot of executive directors in the work that we do, and the recurring theme that I was hearing was the successes and challenges executive directors are having with their boards. Mm-hmm. So as you know, Nicole, boards are made up of very well-meaning, wonderful people who joined the board out of the goodness of their heart and because they want to make an impact, or the mission moves them, or sometimes somebody drags them. but there's some reason that they're there supporting
organization.
Exactly. And because there's no degree in board service, people end up just sitting in the back of the room for a while, for a year or more, just sort of figuring out what is going on. Mm-hmm. Because it's really all new. Mm-hmm. Even if they have business experience and they understand the nature of committee work or board work, it's still new. Mm-hmm. The nonprofit world is ever so slightly different than the business world. So there are different considerations. So they do take quite a while until they step up and they figure out not only how that organization runs, but what their role in that organization should be or could be. Mm-hmm. So I'm hearing about this from executive directors as well as key stakeholders in the area. And I sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? I kind of mirrored that with my own personal experience, where years ago I was a stay-at-home mom, and I was asked to join a nonprofit board, which I was flattered to the 10th degree. And I remember vividly looking at my husband and saying, "This is so nice, but I have absolutely no idea what this means." And in the end, I declined the position. And this, I feel like I missed out.
Yeah, because I'd be like, any excuse to get out of the house. I'm in.
That's funny. I didn't think about it that way, but that's yeah. Maybe we should have talked then.
I know, right? That's right. Hindsight's 2020.
It is. So but that seed was in my head.
Yeah, good.
And especially when I was hearing about all these challenges that executive directors were having and learning more about how nonprofits run and the vital role of what a board does for a nonprofit. So we took it under our wing because we are a capacity building organization, which means we're not directly serving the public. We are helping nonprofits. So we're almost business to business.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
So our job is to help other nonprofits do their job better. And one of the ways that they can do their job better is to have a stronger foundation. And the Board of Trustees is the foundation of a nonprofit organization. So we started our research, and we spent, 6 to 9 months researching the best practices of nonprofit boards. We also did focus groups and interviews in terms of keeping it local to central New Jersey and understanding what it is that our nonprofits needed, because maybe that's different than what a nonprofit in California needs. Mm-hmm. So we put this all together into a fantastic board training program that we call Board Connect. There's a couple of different facets to this. So we have what we call a public program, okay, which is what your listeners will be most interested in. For anyone out there considering nonprofit board service, this program focuses on people who have never served on a nonprofit board and are curious about it or would like to join a nonprofit board, but they'd like to join it with some sense of understanding, mm-hmm, and not blindly walking in, and really understanding their roles and responsibilities for being a board trustee. Mm-hmm. So we've been doing this for 2 years. The program is set up where we have, it's 4 sessions, so it's 8 hours of training, and each class is taught by subject experts, starting with a class in board governance. So basic idea being, what is the structure of a nonprofit? A lot of people, don't know the governance of it. Mm-hmm. What does that mean exactly? What do New Jersey nonprofits look like? How does this all fit together in the puzzle? What is the role between the Board of Trustees and the Executive Director and the staff? So there's, what's the committee? Mm-hmm. What's my personal commitment to being, mm-hmm, on a board? There's a lot of these puzzle pieces that are really important in making your decision. So there's a really great class on that. The next session is on fiduciary responsibilities. So this is, the session that worries people because we're talking about money. but basically we teach how to look at a nonprofit budget, what are the red flags, when should you be concerned that you're spending too much money, for example, on events, mm-hmm, versus your programming.
Which is easy to do, runaway events.
So,
yeah,
exactly.
Let's have this and this and this.
Exactly, and a lot of nonprofits start on that model.
I know, right? Yeah.
So, there's a transition there.
Yeah.
But we teach board members how to look at a budget, how to read a budget, about taxes, the nonprofit 990, which is our tax document, mm-hmm, soup to nuts, basic, yeah, accounting 101 for nonprofits. The third session is on advocacy and fundraising. And this is a great session because this is a session, honestly, that people, what actually stops people from joining nonprofit boards is they think they have to ask everybody they know, mm-hmm, for money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really couldn't be further from the truth. So we talk to them about that, and we teach them that it's advocacy first. Mm-hmm. If you're excited about what you're doing, like you are, yeah, with yours, it's infectious, and other people will want to hear and learn about it. And then you could potentially pass them off to the executive director or the development director, whose job it is to bring in those people.
Mm-hmm.
So it really shouldn't inhibit you. Fundraising is, on the other hand, an important role of the board. They, making connections with certain people is important, opening doors. Sometimes identified board members will have to, or will, actually they'll be willing to make the big ask, so to speak. But you don't go in alone, and it's not...
It's a process.
It's a process, and it's learned, and it's, you know, that should not stop you from joining a nonprofit board. So we talk about all of the, you know, everything that goes into fundraising for a nonprofit and where the money comes from, so that they can be successful in making decisions for the board. The last session is legal issues. This is the funny one because, you know, we always start by scaring everybody and saying, you can be sued as a trustee.
Oh, yikes.
You have to take this seriously. But it almost never happens. And you just have to be aware of how to protect yourself, but also protecting the organization from making, you know, some kind of error in judgment that they're usually completely blind to. And just taking the duty of care of really paying attention to what is going on in your organization seriously. So at your board meetings, when you're receiving your monthly statements and any notes from the executive director, that you're actually reading them and asking questions.
Right.
So really it's about asking questions and being prepared.
Yeah. Because nobody and nothing is exempt from being sued at this day and age, unfortunately.
That is true.
But I do, you know, lawyers are necessary. And, you know, if like we were talking the other day, it's like, well, you know, you can bash lawyers, but the minute you have an issue, that's the first person you call, help, help.
Exactly. Yeah,
so they're very valuable.
Then you're glad they're there.
Yeah, totally. So they're very valuable. Yes, yes.
They are valuable. So anyways, at the end of the four sessions, our alumni feel very... that they have a really well-rounded education of what it means to be a board trustee. So at that point, we host what is called a meet and greet nonprofit fair, where the nonprofits apply to be part of this program. It's a fair in the traditional sense where the nonprofits set up around the room and they meet our graduates. This has been super successful. We've connected almost 90 of, well, how many? It's like 80% of our graduates have moved on to nonprofit boards.
Nice.
And the ones that haven't, just they've had other personal issues or they've moved. Or some people, you know, have had a family member be sick, or they've just decided after learning, which is the point, that they need to wait till, you know, a different point of time in their life. But the nonprofits are thrilled because they're meeting educated people about, I mean, educated about board service.
Right.
And people who have taken the time to understand what their role is. So the feedback I get from them is that they are really engaged. Mm-hmm. They're not sitting in the back of the room for a year, figuring out what's going on. They know how they can contribute. They've taken the time to learn about the organizations. They know what questions to ask. Yeah. And they jump right in.
Yeah, they hit the ground running, right?
Exactly.
Perfect.
And the executive directors and the rest of the board, they're thrilled because they have this person who's ready to go.
Nice.
So no, that's been great. And then on the reverse side, of course, the alumni are engaged and they do feel ready to go and that they know what they're doing and they know what their place is. So it's really a win-win for both sides.
Yeah, and you said you've had two of these classes already, or two graduate classes, or more than that? I don't remember.
What'd
you say?
Than that. We've been doing it for 2 years. So the session coming up this fall, we do this program twice a year.
Okay.
The application period for this is coming up.
Right now.
It is. I'll probably send the first, or you could go on our website, but it'll be mid-August that the participants in the program do apply to be in the program, because we are looking for people who can be successful.
Yeah, you got to be selective.
So the application period will be October, and people can just go to our website at volunteerconnectnj.org.
So the application is now, and then the classes
and
in
then
October?
The classes start in the fall.
Okay.
Actually, the classes start October 2nd.
And it's four installments of 2 hours each or something like that?
It's four installments, 2 hours each. We do them every other week.
Okay.
And they're in the evening, so it's after work.
Nice.
And then the meet and greet, in case there's nonprofits listening, is the Tuesday after Thanksgiving. So it's November 27th.
Nice.
And that's when they get a chance to meet one another. And it's actually a really fun event because we set it up. You have to come watch, Nicole.
I will.
We set it up like speed dating.
Oh, yeah. That's what I kind of thought when you described it.
Exactly what it is. We set it up like speed dating, and the participants go around the room, and every 4 minutes, I ring these very obnoxious cowbells. And by the end of the event, everybody hates me because I'm, you know.
That's all right. Got to move them along.
These bells in their ears. But it serves the purpose, and it's fun.
Nice.
So it's just an energizing way for everybody to meet everybody. And then it's up to the nonprofits to sort of woo the candidates they've met. And they take them out for coffee or invite them to their events. Or sometimes they join a committee first because nonprofits have that process.
Right.
Okay. And it's just been fun.
Yeah. That's great. No, I mean, no, it sounds like a perfect plan, and so people don't have to go in cold turkey, and the nonprofits get somebody who has a clue what's going on. Mm-hmm. And like you said, you save a year of time because they don't just sit in the back of the room. So that's great.
Yep.
And there's all these events, and you mentioned events, and so I wanted to talk about, you also have your annual Summer Sizzler coming up, correct?
We do.
Yeah, so tell us about that.
It's just it's a fun annual happy hour, essentially, where people can get together and network. So I think the interesting thing about the work that we do, because we are not a direct service organization, is that we bring in people from all types of organizations, which also expands to all types of funders and volunteers. So our events tend to be a really great mix of interesting, different people. It's not just all
from one genre or from one cause or anything.
Yeah. So they're fun.
Yeah.
So the Summer Sizzler is Tuesday, August 14th from 5 to 7. There is a link on our website under events for that. And we're hosting it at the Nassau Club in Princeton. So it's downtown Princeton.
Oh, yeah, that's a
nice
place.
There's parking. It's easy.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful building if you haven't been in there yet.
Yeah, and anyone can go, right?
Anyone can go.
No, just kind of
sign up.
Because if you're thinking about volunteering or getting on a board or taking a class or finding out what nonprofits are out there, just, you know, I mean, it's happy hour, right? What's not to like?
Come hear about what we do. It's great.
That's great. And then are you kind of, so you're kind of like a local version of, you know, Volunteer Match or Idealist, like those kind of things, or how are those different from what you do?
I would say we're very different, actually,
okay.
Because those are online platforms.
Yeah, you're right.
And they are focused on, well, I guess all kinds of volunteering, but they're really focused on day of service volunteering.
Yeah, like.
And in fact, I recommend people to go to volunteermatch.org if they're looking to connect with an organization on a short-term basis and they want to ladle soup at a soup kitchen or bring their kids in to do something. Mm-hmm. So they are really different than what we do. We're really focused on connecting professional skills to nonprofits.
That makes sense because that's more the individual finding a volunteer opportunity on a one-off or kind of thing where you're, like you said before, you're business to business.
Yep.
Yeah. No,
exactly.
That makes sense. And tell everybody your website again.
VolunteerConnectNJ.org.
Okay, great. So that's good. And then the other thing you've got coming up is the art show, right? So tell us about the art show because that sounds exciting.
The art show is fun. It's new this year. So we are, as you said, in our 20th year. So one of the ways that we're celebrating our 20th anniversary is to connect people visually to volunteerism. So we have a call to artists out right now asking artists to express how they feel about volunteerism through, you know, the medium that they choose. And it could be an emotional response. It could be a, you know, realistic portrait of people volunteering. But whatever whatever moves them.
Mm-hmm.
So we are, we have this call to artists out. There is, again, information on our website about that. And at the end of this, we're doing two things. We are putting all of the work of the submitted work will be on our website as of September 24th, and the general public will have, I think it's a week, to...
A vote?
To actually purchase the artwork.
Oh, wow.
So it is a fundraiser.
Okay.
Although the artists are getting a large percentage of it,
nice.
And we're taking our piece of the pie there.
Okay.
So people can go online and see the art that will be at the art show. Oh. They could actually buy it in advance if they want to. Or they can come to the actual art show, which will be on October 4th. Mm-hmm. And the law offices of Stark & Stark in Lawrenceville
have
graciously opened their doors to us. So we are being hosted there.
Nice.
So there'll be a lovely reception the evening of October 4th, which will include the artists and anybody who would like to join us.
So that's open to the public as well? Is there a registration fee or process?
There's a small registration fee.
Okay.
We actually don't have our registration information for the event because it's still
quite a ways away.
But the call to artist information
is out there.
That information is on the website.
I tagged Sam Matthews. So she was on the show in February. She's a local artist, mm-hmm. and she is phenomenal. And so she did... I tagged her for the chairs. In Hunterdon County, they're doing these Adirondack chairs, and they had artists decorate them, and they're around town. So I said, where's your chair? So she's figuring that out for me so I can see it. But so she did a chair, and so she's my go-to artist. So I sent her your thing.
Oh,
so hopefully she'll submit, because she just is so fun and just full of energy. So she does art across borders. So another shout-out to her and all the good things she does, parties and paintings and at all the coffee shops and wine shops and beer gardens. So.
Yeah. Sounds like someone I should know.
I know, exactly. So she's just so fun. So anyway, shout out to Sam and Art Across Borders. But anyway, so back to, so we were talking about funding, fundraisers, different things. So how is Volunteer Connect primarily funded, through grants or donations or?
We are a 501c3, mm-hmm. like any other nonprofit, despite our sort of business-to-business outlook. And we are funded in the traditional ways. So grants from foundations, from corporations, individual donations, our events and fundraisers, which, frankly, we keep to a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have amazing support, not just financially, but really intellectual support from area organizations. The Princeton Community Foundation especially has been a long-term guiding light for us. So, you know, you were calling out Sam. I'm calling out Princeton Area Community Foundation for just getting what we do.
Yeah, and Elizabeth Wagner is amazing.
She is phenomenal.
She's a goddess, yes. She is. No, I mean, she's amazing. She always does Princeton Community Works and different things. Yeah.
She is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, they're led by Jeff Vega, who's the first time I met him when they had their transition, I was a little worried that because there's new leadership that people weren't going to get, because what we do is a mouthful.
Uh-huh.
We can't just say we save animals.
It's
complicated.
You have
to take a little thought about it. And I have to say, within 5 seconds, Jeff Vega got it. He was just like, yep, I see the importance of capacity building for nonprofits. Nonprofits need Volunteer Connect for the work that we're doing.
Yeah.
And providing the education that they need to be successful.
Yeah, that's great. I think it's... Well, so the other part that we haven't talked about yet is the Leadership Connect, right?
Yeah. So let me tell you about that, but I want to tell you about a new program that we have
that's
really exciting, too, which actually is under the Leadership Connect umbrella.
Okay.
So the main program we have right now under Leadership Connect is our Executive Director Forums. And these are forums or workshops that are exclusive to executive directors. So EDs do not have a lot of time. And
you can attest to, right?
And they don't have that opportunity to be together and to learn exclusively within their own
job
peers.
Title group. Yeah, okay.
So this is a program we've had for a long time, but it is exclusive to executive directors so that they can get together and talk without their board there, without their staff there. They can learn from one another. Mm-hmm. I always bring in a guest speaker who either that they want to meet, you know, someone they should be in front of.
They're a rock star, right?
Exactly. or it's strictly a subject learning conversation. So, for example, a couple of months ago, we had a panel. It was a corporate panel to talk about corporate trends and issues, and things are really changing in the corporate world, the corporate social responsibility world.
Yes.
But how is that going to affect nonprofits? So I brought in the key leaders from area corporations, Jennifer Brunel from NRG, Diana Blankman from Novo Nordisk, Etta Dank from Bank of America, and then it was moderated by Nina Stack, who was with the Council of New Jersey Grant Makers. And we had a fantastic conversation with 25 executive directors that was open and confidential, and just the back and forth conversation that you need to have with the leaders of area corporations so that you can prepare your organization. So it's those types of programs that we work on for EDs, and they're quarterly, so we're not taxing them on a weekly basis, or you know, it's just the opportunity to meet other people within their peer group, but also other people that we're bringing in.
Yeah, but everybody needs their association, you know, of their peers, so you can, like you said, exchange ideas, vent, or share, or learn, or all of the above. Yeah,
exactly.
So
and if you're only in, you know, if you're working in family health, and those are the people you're generally going to meet, are the other EDs within that field, this gives you the opportunity to hear from other people and to recognize that things aren't so different in other areas. The people have very similar challenges despite whatever your particular field is.
Right, and also maybe get, you know, some ideas, or we tried it and we did it this way, or, you know, get new ideas, fresh ideas, and see if it might work some way, somehow for your organization, and then everybody benefits. So
exactly.
I think that's really good.
So it's a really good program. The extension of what we're doing now actually, and this is under this Leadership Connect hat that we're talking about, but it comes as a result of our Board Connect board training program.
Okay.
So if you remember, I mentioned that the board training program is for people who are new to board service, and then at the end, we help connect them to the nonprofit so that they can join a board. We've been doing that for about 2 years. What's been happening is the EDs are talking to me about how much they love that program. It's wonderful. They have, you know, nonprofits have a really hard time recruiting board members, let alone finding quality board members. But what they're talking to me about over the last 2 years is how much they love that program, but they need help with their sitting board, with their current board.
Oh, because they haven't gone through training.
Exactly.
They're stuck in their ways. No,
exactly. So, again, they mean well, but they often don't know what the best practices are or how they can help, even if, you know, they want to. So we have started, again, we did basically what we did with the Skills Connect program. We spent a lot of time researching. And what we're doing, we've developed a program called Board Labs, and we're piloting it in the fall. And we're creating workshops for sitting board trustees.
That's cool.
So people are very happy with me right now.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're feeling a need. Like, that's A number one.
It's really, really exciting because I hear about it a lot, about how much, you know, EDs love their boards but wish they could do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
So the pilot program is really going to be focused on one of the challenges that I hear most about, which is the finance fundraising part of a board. Often, you know, that's where people are uncomfortable in asking for money or anything involving money. So we're starting it with 4 sessions that the trustees can either come in to individual sessions if they're just curious about the individual topics, or they can sign up for all 4.
Nice.
And by the time they leave, they will really have a whole new understanding of finance and fundraising.
Yes.
So it's going to be topics like accounting will be, you know, kind of how to read your budget.
Yeah, well, it's
basic skills of...
It's a learning process, for sure.
Exactly. And then there'll be a session on capital campaigns, because a lot of nonprofits are talking about starting a capital campaign and what does that mean. And and then the third session is...
Major gifts, or no?
Well, that's a part of probably, frankly, our session number 4, which is going to be on advocacy and fundraising and major gifts and development committees and that whole structure. And then there'll be another session on... tax laws mm-hmm. and finances in with that viewpoint. So donor advised funds, where's the money coming from? How are taxes affecting your nonprofit?
Mm.
That's going to be a whole, there's going to be a whole
focus
on that as well. So by the time they're done with all of these topics, they may not know everything about, you know, the financial health of an organization, but boy, they're going to know so much more.
More than they want to, right?
Absolutely. So it's going to be exciting.
Well, do you know, I know I've heard this before and I can't remember what it is, but you know, it used to be when you were on a board, or this was what I've heard, that you either were expected to give time, significant time, or bring people in, or donations. And there's like a little play on words that they used to use, and but now you're expected to do both. Do you remember what that is? Or
I don't know what the... Are you talking about time, talent, and treasure?
No, I know that one, but it was something like it used to be give... I don't know, maybe it was a version of that, but there's, they were saying...
There's... It's so the... I think I know what you're asking. The bottom line is that giving, when you're on the board, is different for every single nonprofit.
Right.
Some nonprofits do have a minimum expectation, and they'll say, and you'll know this in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, for anyone out there looking to join a nonprofit board, you should absolutely ask this question. What are your expectations financially? Mm-hmm. People are afraid to ask that because they think it's rude, but they have
it's
to
relevant.
Ask.
It's relevant.
You have to know.
Yeah.
So, so they should be upfront with you. And it's usually, I'll say, one of two ways. One is they have the flat minimum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're expected to give whatever it is. I'll just say $1,000.
Yep.
$1,000. They might say that has, you know, that that can be, that number can be reached in multiple ways.
They're bringing other people.
There's a term called give and get.
I think that,
is that the term
you're thinking? I don't know, but it's been a while. But
well,
yeah.
Essentially where you can give the expected amount of money
I think that
out
was
of your own pocket.
Yeah.
Or you have to go get the money.
Yeah,
so you could make connections, you can fundraise for an event, but give and get is common. I will say that most nonprofits need some kind of a donation out of your own pocket, even if it's $10, $5.
Well, it shows commitment, right?
That's the exact purpose of it, because when you're applying for grants, they want to know, or even if you're just talking to a potential major gift giver,
right?
They want to know that you've given, because if you can't or aren't willing to financially support that organization, why would they?
Yeah.
And they never know the dollar amount. So again, it could be, you know, depending on your organization,
right.
It could be $5,000, it could be $10, but they want a personal donation. So the other piece of that that I think you're might be thinking of, many nonprofits in this area ask you to give to the best of your ability. Because it's different for everybody.
Yeah.
And nonprofit boards are really changing. So they're not strictly as they were 100 years ago, where it was a bunch of men sitting around a table. They're really diverse and really reflect our communities and are trying to become even more diverse. But with that comes different levels of financial ability. So most nonprofits around here do ask you to give to the best of your own ability.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be $10 or it could be $10,000. And they ask you to make them one of your top three charities. So give to the best of your ability. Make sure you're one of the top three charities that you give to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm missing something. Top three charities.
But I think it was the give and get. I think the perception was if you were a board member, you either give an X amount or you get it from your colleagues and things like that. But now I think it's a kind of expected of both. You have to give and get, which makes sense but it does make sense too from the commitment standpoint. You know, it's like, oh yeah, I've got this great swamp land in Arizona. I want you to, so, right. I mean, not to that extent, but you know, you're showing that if I do believe, you know, I'm putting up my own money because I believe in this. And so I'm not asking you to do, you know, walk the walk kind of thing. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. To be an active participant in the organization.
Yep. So we're going to take a really quick break and then we'll be back.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
The traffic is stuck. Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. 100 in Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help, a show about volunteerism and service. And today we're talking to Amy Klein, who is the Executive Director of Volunteer Connect. And she has shared incredible insight into the business-to-business version of connecting board members and volunteers and teams with active businesses in the community that need staffing, need help, need project pro bono project work, and it's a very unique service, a very valuable service, and I think Volunteer Connect is a pioneer. So I'm very excited to learn all about this.
Thank you.
Well, we were going to kind of expand. You mentioned CSR, corporate social responsibility. You may be familiar with that term. It's a relatively new term, and it usually sits under HR. Sometimes it's basically the formalization of companies making a statement about who they're helping, what organizations they're helping, where in the world they're helping, and why. And I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about that and how it might fit into any of your programs or how you emphasize that.
Yes, I would. Sure.
That's a mouthful.
I can go there. There is a focus for corporations to engage their employees in the good of the community. Things are changing. As I mentioned, we had that one executive director forum where I brought in the corporations. There's a new level coming in and new acronyms coming in, and one of them is ESG, which I'm not an expert on and would not claim to be, but it's basically it's focusing on an environment, sustainability, and governance, if I have that.
Yeah, I think I've
correct.
Heard that one. I've heard that one, yep.
So it's just a slight shift of the CSR okay. model.
Yep.
But people can Google that and yep. read more in detail about that. For Volunteer Connect and for anybody listening who might work at a corporation, the focus is really people are looking for passion and purpose in their life. So our tagline is passion, purpose, and partnership.
I love it.
It's the purpose part that individuals are looking for. They don't want to just clock in anymore. They want to feel connected to their community, to their job. And this isn't just a millennial thing. People think it's a millennial thing. It's not. I probably meet with individuals, corporate individuals, at least I'll say once a week. And it's working people, it's people in transition, it's corporate people retiring. I sit down with them and they're telling me their story, but what's common between all of it is this purpose. They're missing something, they want something, and they know it's out there. And corporations are really trying to address this.
Mm-hmm.
The Board Connect program that I mentioned to you before, we actually do offer a corporate version of that program where we'll go in to their office and do a day of training. And we've done this for Rising Stars at area corporations. We've done it for C-level corporate employees,
okay.
People who've been on boards, people who haven't been on boards. It's all, it goes across the common theme. So we train them how to be nonprofit board members. And this program is really filling that niche for them.
Okay, good.
And is providing them the avenue that they're looking for.
Yeah.
So the corporate social responsibility is moving outside of the HR
mm-hmm.
field and now goes into even philanthropy.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Frankly, the departments in the corporations that are handling this type of stuff, they're shrinking. So we're talking about nonprofits being challenged by that. Corporations are as well.
Mm-hmm.
So They're trying to engage their employees and look for those new avenues, and Volunteer Connect is one way that they can provide professional development for their employees.
Yeah, no, that sounds great, and maybe you're familiar with the Pledge 1% phenomenon out there where corporations can sign up to pledge 1% of employee time, volunteer time off, 1% of product, and 1% of profits. So there's a lot of big companies out there that have done that, that they've made that pledge. So that's pretty cool. And then just a quick shout out for the book Purpose Incorporated, which I'm going to give to you, that John Wood, the founder of Room to Read, wrote about this whole transition with, I don't think he uses the ESG acronym, but maybe I just missed that.
It's relatively new, I will say.
Yeah, and this came out in April, I think, or maybe January. I don't know, but it's a good read. Purpose Incorporated, Turning Cause into Your Competitive Advantage. Well, we've learned quite a bit today, and we've got just one short snippet left. So do you have you want to wrap it up and give us a takeaway?
I will wrap it up.
Okay.
please go to our website at volunteerconnectnj.org, and there you can find all kinds of information about our Board Connect training program, which is, again, starting in the fall. Applications will be accepted in mid-August, about our upcoming art show, October 4th, about our Summer Sizzler, which is August 14th, and our new Board Labs program will be up relatively soon, the pilot that we're launching in the fall. And then we didn't even get to our Impact Awards, which I'll briefly tell you is where we honor an individual, a corporation, and a nonprofit for their commitment to volunteerism.
Wow.
And that event is November 8th, and that's a super fun event.
Oh, okay.
Really, really great. And I can't tell you who our honorees are yet.
No, that's okay.
A little tease that I know who they are.
Oh, so exciting.
So sign. You can connect with us on our website so that you can know who our honorees are this year.
Oh, that's so exciting. Well, we learned so much today, or I did, and I hope everybody out there did too. And we want to have a big thank you shout out to Amy Klein, Executive Director of Volunteer Connect. And please check out all the great things they have coming up this fall.
Thank you, Nicole.
Bye.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
I'm like, why are you hitting a star?
That man speaking of when he confronted a man who was destroying President Trump's star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame with a pickaxe early today.
You know, like, man, what did Donald Trump do to you? He just came and started hitting it.
David Palmer and other witnesses say the suspect just took an axe out of a guitar case and started destroying the star. He reportedly called the LAPD as he walked away and later turned himself in to Beverly Hills Police. President Trump's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, says a recording of a 2016 conversation between then-candidate Trump and his former lawyer, Michael Cohen, gives, quote, no indication of any crime.
We love you!
That was Donald Trump Jr. said his dad has a track record of achieving the impossible. That was the crescendo of the Republican National Convention. But then, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie made the case against Hillary Clinton, saying she is guilty of having a dismal record as Secretary of State.
In Libya and Nigeria, guilty. In China and Syria. In Iran and Russia and Cuba.
We continue our coverage of the Republican National Convention. This is USA Radio News.
Hamilton was adopted from a rescue in 2008. He really likes to be around people. I get out my mat and I'm doing a downward dog and he's underneath. He's quite the pug about town. He gets invited to a lot of parties. He knows he's a pretty big deal. Look at this little face. How do you not love him?
Hamilton the Pug, Instagram star and shelter pet. Amazing.